Is South Africa going to the dogs again? Apparently not. This Work Life Matters season shares informal and candid chats with some of South Africa's youngest startups, businessmen and women, with an understanding of our past and a passion for our future. Our guests draw from Mzansi as an inspiration to grow personally, as a brand and individuals, fusing international ideas into a truly South African model, sized to fit our people, economy and culture. Next up, we have a lovely lady who I've loved speaking to. Please put your hands together for Jess Meneer, founder of Bitchy Bites and a young entrepreneur. And those biscuits are amazing. Booyah, enjoy. All right, we're speaking to our next guest. It is Jess Meneer. Not Afrikaans, French. So how do you pronounce it?
Meneer.
And you own a company called Eat My Cookies.
That is correct. So I started Bitchy Bites, which is these little biscuits over here, about 2 years ago. I had no intention to actually start my own business. Mm-hmm. And I find myself 2 years later stocking about 20 plus cafes in around Cape Town. These biscuits are supposed to be cheeky. So that's the whole marketing around them is Eat My Cookie. So good, it's going to make you crumb. Better than grandma's cookie. There was a lot to it. It's very cheeky. But the idea behind it was that they are vegan and they're gluten-free. They're refined chicken-free. So we're taking out the fun in terms of like all those
yes.
things. But vegans have a terrible rep. So
Oh, yes, they do. And I make fun of them all day on social media.
So
are you vegan?
I am vegan.
No wonder you look so tired. I'm joking. She doesn't look tired if you listen to the podcast.
I've been slaving away making biscuits for you all day. That's why I look tired.
At all. I'm kidding. I always when I'm doing it, I'm like, oh, vegans, put up your hand. Oh, they're too tired. Anemic. Kidding. She doesn't look tired. Gosh. Okay. So you created, how did this come about?
So I love to cook. It's always kind of been, I guess, like a little bit of my vice.
This is baking.
So this is baking. Yeah, it is baking. But I was kind of trying to pursue a little bit of like an athletic career. Okay. I was very much so focused on running quite competitively and training a lot. So I needed to kind of fuel my running, these long hours I was doing, and just played in the kitchen. I came up with these chocolate chip cookies and they were just like my fix, both for post, pre, during racing, training. And I started baking them, like finalized this recipe. And I actually just had a bunch of friends come over for tea and they were like, oh my gosh, this is, these are drugs, you know.
Yes.
We want some, we will buy these from you. Mm. And that's how it started. I started an Instagram page thereafter. I was just like, let me just try my hand at, I guess, selling these or trying to create a little bit of a story and narrative around it. And I went from 20 followers to 200 followers in a week. And by the end of the week, I was stocking two cafes. And since then, it's just been, it's just been that. I've grown the page to about 2,000 followers.
Do you cook, bake yourself?
So about a year and a bit ago, I was baking all of the biscuits by myself. At the time, I was also studying and freelancing for a company, as well as like modeling, and I also had my own yoga studio, so teaching yoga, and then also baking. About
don't work too hard.
No, it was.
Don't do too much.
Probably why I still looked a bit tired.
I'm joking. Like, you don't look tired. I'm
like
kidding.
2 years of
that was
I'm
a vegan
myself.
Joke, not you look tired joke.
So about a year and a half ago, I was the one who was baking myself, still doing the recipe development, all the fun stuff. But I recently employed someone and have trained them up, and they are baking for me full time. It's been a fantastic process as well to have someone alleviate, I guess, that the stress of baking 1,000 cookies a day. Yes. So he is amazing. He does all of the stock take as well for me. I also have a delivery guy now.
Employing men as well.
Yeah.
And you're 22. You're like, ha, 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 be back.
And it's gotten to the point where I get to be more involved in that creative side on the social media, the marketing.
Eat My Cookie.
Yes, We've got little caps as well. We do undies as well. So you eat my cookie panties if you want, you know.
Wow. I am waiting for marriage to eat cookies. Okay. All right. So let's talk about this. We had you on the show not just to talk about your business, but just to say – you'll call yourself a Gen Z, right?
Yes.
Gen Z. You have more than one job. This is like quite a Gen Z thing to have different side hustles. And that's, you're seeing it a lot with with Gen Zs about, tell me what other work you do. You said you model.
So I model. I'm with an agency. I've been with my agency since I was in high school, since I moved to Cape Town. Mm. I teach yoga. So I've got my 500-hour yoga teacher training. Mm. I actually do have a full-time job at the moment. So a typical 9-to-5. But I am in the process of transitioning out. I've been with the company part-time for 2 years, and then I've started with them full-time this year.
Doing what?
I work in their creative side, so more in the marketing. I'm their brand storyteller. Okay. I do a lot of photography for them, video content, I produce stories, documentaries. But I've spent 8 months with the company full-time, and I've decided to pull the plug on full-time. It just doesn't necessarily suit my way of wanting to maximize life and, grow my own career. It's been fantastic, I think, to have that firsthand experience of what full-time is, and I think it is important for people to, before judging, maybe try. So I am glad I have tried, but I'm very excited to move away.
How much longer?
I have got 3 more weeks. Huh. I am counting down my Monday morning meetings.
Well, imagine how many cookies you could cook and bake in 3 weeks. Imagine. You could be cooking away. All right. So for me, did you study?
I did study.
Okay. Yeah. What did you study?
So I studied a very general undergrad, a Bachelor of Social Science. I majored in, triple major in religious studies.
Are you religious?
I'm not religious.
I was about to go with your marketing. You're not very eating my cookie. Yeah. You're not very religious. Yeah. I got to be seeing this priest. Would you like to eat my cookie?
Yes, no, that wouldn't have gone down.
No.
So religious studies, gender studies, and then media and society.
Where did you study?
At UCT.
Okay. Yeah. And then how are you using that?
I wouldn't say I'm using a lot of like the hard skills that I learned in my degree. Definitely not using my religious studies. But I think I definitely am using a lot of more like the – we've learned a lot about inclusivity and mindfulness and a lot about intersectionality. And I think that these are skills, the soft skills at least, that I am bringing into my work in terms of storytelling. I think if I'd go back, I definitely would still have studied. I wouldn't have changed that. And I see university as this incredible window period of 3 years where I had to apply myself to an end goal, and I knew that there was this inevitable 3-year degree that I wanted to achieve and have that. But that 3-year period of studying also created so much freedom for me in being able to try something like start a business, in being able to put myself out there for an internship with the company that I'm currently working at. So it was this wonderful buffer period where ultimately I still knew that if I failed in BitchyBytes or if I failed at my internship, there'd still be something, I guess, to fall back onto being a degree. So I think that is something that was like largely beneficial of having studied. And then, just also to kind of test this period of being able to juggle so much studying, working. It was a great trial and error period of being like, how much can I overload myself with and not look too tired, you know?
Admit. But are people in your generation, your friends, have they been studying? Are they studying? And are they money orientated or more, I don't know, because when I grew up, everyone studied and everyone wanted to do that job that their mother or their father wanted them to do and then make money. I never studied. I did entertainment. People look, roll their eyes at me. Is your generation that you're in, the Gen Zs, are they studying? Are your friends studying? Or are they goal orientated about money or what?
I think there definitely is a change. And I think there, within my generation, there are so many people who are driven by the app, understands what works and doesn't, what people want to see and consume.
The difficulties of being a young person in business and a young female person in business.
I think it definitely comes to the age. When people ask how old you are, they automatically be like, oh, well, you're so young. You don't have any experience. But I think because we have so much on our phones and access to, we are exposed to so much more at such a younger age. So I think instead of kind of asking someone, like, well, how old are you? Like really ask, okay, what do you align yourself with and what do you do and what have you done? Because that speaks so much more in terms of their experience. Yeah. The age can't really quantify like what you can add. Yeah, I think that's definitely one. I think, you know, our generation, or this Gen Z generation, is also seen as this generation which is so demanding and they want so much and, you know, they're these job hoppers. And I think that also, we also automatically become defensive and, like, naturally I'm going to be like, well, we're not, you know, we aren't demanding. We've put into place, I guess, these requests for, like, mindfulness and mental health awareness in workspaces and flexible hours because we see these as beneficial to productivity. And I mean, I haven't heard a good enough case yet for why people shouldn't have a little bit of awareness around, you know, mental health in, in a work environment, or a little bit more mindfulness or sensitivity around how we navigate workspaces. And again, flexible hours and working from home, working from Workshop 17, these are, I think, important things. So when people say, like, oh, well, the Gen Z is so demanding, it's just like, well, we're asking for things to ultimately, you know, enhance our productivity. I also think what is so interesting is that, like, we are now focusing on Gen Z because this is the next generation that's coming into the working environment. So that's why there is so much focus on this generation. But previously, when Gen X came into the work environment, or millennials came into the
work... Is that me? 37.
Yes. Gen X. You know, people were still throwing their hands in there and be like, oh, well, these millennials and these Gen
Xers. I don't even know what I am. All I know is that I can use WhatsApp. I can use social media. I struggle at AI.
I think we all struggle with AI.
I don't know where I don't know what people do. So I'm lost there.
Yeah.
But the younger kids, yeah, they got it.
Yeah.
And I was in a Tesla in America. Yeah. Okay. So let's go again. If you could do this brand again, if you could start this again, what kind of advice would you give anyone who wants to start a business, who's young, hasn't started a business? And for me, I love the marketing. It's cheeky. It's in your face. It's Nando-y.
But vegan.
Yeah, but vegan. Yeah. I mean, no chicken was harmed in this particular thing. Yes. Chickens donated their lives to us.
I think a lot of times when people say, well, how did you start? Just start. I think we spent so much time kind of almost anticipating what will happen and, like, how to tick box everything. But it's just like, just go out and do it. And I think my generation is very good at doing that. People will start an Instagram page for something, and if it doesn't work, then they move on. They start the next thing. I think, you know, instead of living in this fear of, like, what if I need to, like, kind of tick boxing, just go out there and do it. Trial and error. And if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. You know, it's not a failure. You've learned. So yeah, I think that's how this really became something. It was just like, I have no intention of it ever evolving into what it was, and it never did. I never thought that I'd be baking biscuits, having someone bake biscuits now for me. But it was just a matter of just starting and putting myself out there. And I think this Gen Z, my generation, we do that well. People aren't afraid to, I guess, promote on their own social media platforms and share.
What are your goals for the business? What are your goals for the business? Where do you think it's going to go to? Are you going to ever sell it? What are your goals?
So I actually did go through a little bit of a period where I put it out for sale earlier this year. And that was just because I had way too much on my plate. As I said, I had moved...
Too much on my plate?
Too much. But I had moved into a corporate space where I was trying to balance the 9-to-5 and my own business and still teach and all sorts of things. And I was like, something has to go and it's got to be Bitchy Bites. And I was just like, it's worth something, I can sell it. But the process of actually selling the business almost like reaffirmed that it was worth so much more and that all this hard work that I put into it or I put into it wasn't worth letting it go. Yeah. So yeah, the goal is to grow it. I'd love to do actually little like single cookie packaging for, you know, people who are on the go. I want to ultimately get into more cafes, more streamlined packaging as well for bigger stores, and start my own little cookie empire. But yeah, it's slowly ticking away. And I think once I'm fun employed, which is not really fun employed, but that's when I'm like leaving corporate.
I feel
freelance, fun employed. Then I'll have more time to really kind of sit down and put together, I guess, a vision. But for now, it's at a point where I can maintain it and grow it. And yeah, I don't know if I have any bigger goals than that just with this. But
what are your views and ambitions? Because it feels like you...
Yeah, so I mean, I do have
Personal.
Personal.
Yeah.
ultimately, I see Bitchy Bites at least as something on the side still, as a side hustle. But my main focus and really my love is in storytelling. So I've helped produce a few documentaries with a company that I'm with now. I do a lot of photography and like written pieces and feature pieces. So that ultimately is, I guess, my passion and where I want to spend more time kind of growing my career. So I will hopefully have more freelance work that I'll be focusing on and more freelance clients in line with that. And then I just see Bitchy Bites as something that will still stay on the side. And I think that the Gen Z generation is very good at that. You know, everyone seems to have a side hustle these days because one, they can. And two, I also think that it does come from a place of like also needing to. Like life is expensive. I think everyone that you speak to does have a side hustle or is thinking of picking up a side hustle or doing a few extra things on the side. And it, I think side hustles also allow you to stay creative and to challenge yourself and to have fun. I have so much fun with this brand.
I can see.
I have so much fun. The amount of puns that I come up with and people that will stop me on the street and be like, oh, you're the Bitchy Bites lady. And I'm just like, yes. It's playful. It's fun. And I mean, a double bonus. It's like, brings in some extra bucks. And
gets so modest. If you have 20 odd stores and you're doing 1,000, I think you're doing pretty fine with Bitchy Bites. I think it's more than just a side hustle.
Okay, maybe it's a little bit more than a side hustle.
The kind of things, it's vegan?
Vegan, gluten-free, and refined sugar-free.
People who are vegan, people who are gluten into, they like to pay. They don't, there's nothing cheap that's vegan, there's nothing cheap that's gluten-free. But listen, it's a great job. I'm really, it's quite inspirational to see my little niece, she's 23, has started like a wig and weave company.
Wow, amazing.
It's been quite interesting to get involved. But recently.
Have you tried any on?
No, I haven't. Okay. But she was trying to, I was supposed to invest in one of her companies and something went wrong and then I had to stand and go, actually, I won't invest in this. Which for me, my final thing about me is about the particular topic. How are you on failure? Because I think my niece is learning about failure now and I think I gave her a lesson on, here and there. How are you with failure?
I think
because you're 22, I don't think you've failed much.
No, I have. I've failed at many things.
Like, did you like mess up one of the batches of?
I've done that. I've had to recall a few batches actually previously.
Recall?
In the past. Yes.
Why?
I like forgot to put sugar in the
batch. Oh my goodness.
coconut sugar, but you in the process of this, I have I failed many times. At least you know. Failed with a stockist. They weren't selling cookies, so I turned it back. But I think that's more on the small scale of failure. I think, you know, the start of Bitchy Bites, as I said, I had wanted to kind of pursue this like athletic career. I was very into my running, but more specifically trail running. And I failed at that royally, you know, I really did. I think my mom is my biggest fan. She's like, oh, she's just amazing. She can do everything. I'm like, mom, really?
Yeah, I heard that outside. Her mom brought her here. I'm joking.
Mom she did. No. But my mom is my biggest cheerleader and she's absolutely amazing. But she's like, I fully back you. You can be a professional runner and professional this and that. And no, I failed royally. I was like stone last at probably every race that I did. But
now you know how not to do it.
Yes, exactly. But even in, I think like uni as well. I mean, I committed myself to uni, but there were many times where like I failed a paper or whatever it was. And I think our generation, for some reason, there still is this negative connotation around failure. And I'm not too sure why, because it is such an important thing to learn from it. And I think we all kind of get so like disheartened by failure. But I think the moment you surround yourself with people who've also failed and have been able to turn it into a positive experience and share that, that's when you start to step back and be like, actually, you know, it's so important to fail. I'm really like lucky because I'm surrounded by an incredible community. I live in Muesenberg and I'm a proud Muesenberger.
Did you bring your visa? It's very far. And enjoy the traffic home.
Yeah, I'm used to it. I commute to town every day.
You must be listening to what's it called? Audiobooks. Audiobooks and podcasts.
Lots of podcasts. Yeah. I've actually listened to most of the Workshop 70 podcasts.
Is it?
Hard advocate, yes.
I look forward to eating your vegan I look forward to eating your Bitchy Bites.
Let's try it.
They're freshly baked.
But they don't taste healthy.
They're not supposed to.
But I thought they're supposed to be healthy.
They are healthy. They're good for you. It's good for you, cookie.
They're very good. Ladies, this is me. Just chocolate, healthy, and tastes great. Yay. I mean, because of your puns, so like, everything I say sounds sexual because of your flipping puns.
So, like, do the vegans win in this case?
No. Vegans, finally, you have wanted something.
Yes.
This is great. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
It was great chatting with you.
Lovely.
When I listen to you talk, it feels like you're older than me. And I'm nearly double your age. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank
Congratulations
so
on the company. I'll tell everyone about it. Tag me on stuff. It's great to be here. And the marketing. Everything from here sounds sexual.
It's done for you.
Yeah, like, done.